Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listening to the cricket podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the cricket podcast. It's me, Maxwell Brown. I'm joined by Ross Legg. How are you, Ross?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. A great day of cricket we've just experienced there. Had a little bit for everything, didn't it? Both there for the bowlers, both there for the batsmen, there for people who love talking about pitches more than they actually like cricket, and also there for the people who love and hate baseball simultaneously.
Very, very much so. What it didn't have was Jack Hope with us. Jack is in Paris, enjoying the city of love. I hope he has a lovely time, and I hope he managed to watch some of it, because it was all good fun. Before we get into it, the usual messages: please do like, subscribe on YouTube, whatever platform you get your podcasts on. Follow us, Twitter or X now. I still say Twitter. It's still got the Twitter logo. Should probably update that. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We have a TikTok, I think. I wouldn't know. I'm too old for TikTok. But all of those great things, please do follow us and get involved. But might as well get straight into it. We're on the clock. Ross has got to get back to work, as do I. So let's dive straight in with the usual summary of the day. And so I have a friend, right? A friend called Ben, who came up with this weird idea once that he described as sundowning. And basically what it meant was, if we were going out, he would drink as much as he possibly could before sunset and then wouldn't drink anything else afterwards, with the idea being that he wouldn't have a hangover because he'd spend most of the time while he was out processing the alcohol and wouldn't be hungover. Right? Does that sound logical? It didn't end well. But that was what it seemed like today was going to be. It was all action, helter-skelter, carnage for the first session, drinking as much as you can before lunch, and then just gradual sedation, calmed down, a real just sort of gentle slide in towards the rest of the day. And it looked as well at one point that gentle slide was going to involve what normally happened when Ben tried this tactic, which was stumbling into the floor and being dragged home. No, because Joe Root was there. Joe Root was there, and he was back playing Joe Root cricket. Designated driver, Joe Root. Took him home. He took Ben home and got him into bed safely. And that meant that England ended the day 302 for 7 and not throwing up all over themselves. He was ably supported by Ben Foulkes for that second session. And they commandeered England to the end of the day admirably. But obviously, everything that happened before that was mental. Zach Crawley's off stump went cartwheeling. He got a reprieve. And then basically his response was just to go mental and try and smash the ball all over the place. Ollie Pope was somehow LBW. I'd still can't process how that one.
Do you know, it was one of those ones where, you know how we say sometimes umpires give you out because of the shot you played? I feel like DRS just gave it out because of the shot.
It's like, come on, Ollie. You can't
be playing that shot, mate. You deserve to be out. Press the red button. You're out of here.
And of course, the best one was Ben Stokes, wasn't it? What a ridiculous delivery that got rid of Ben Stokes, bouncing about 1 centimetre off the floor from back of a length.
So that kind of stuff, Max, I love, because you don't normally walk to an LBW. But I think we've all been there. I've walked to an LBW before. You've definitely walked to an LBW before. And it was great to see that happen at the highest level, right? And probably one of the best cricketers in the world. Kind of just be like, yep, see you later. I'm off.
He literally just picked up his bat and was like, I'm not playing anymore. This is silly.
I'm taking my ball home and I'm not coming back.
It was incredible. But, I mean, Ross, it's nice to see that you now have an evenly curated set of facial hair. The half beard is gone. But obviously that was an ode to people and what they were talking about with Bazball, right? And what I'm thinking as an external observer of cricket, I've seen England collapse after Root played this ridiculous shot. Everyone go mad in the media and say, this is not how you play cricket. You should be more circumspect and you know, more play traditional test cricket. And then Joe Root and Ben Folkes did that for the best part of two sessions. And England did 302 for 7. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, Jeffrey Boycott, Jonathan Agnew, they're all right. Yeah, they're right. They got it spot on. Tell me I'm wrong, please. Explain it.
So my view is that it's Bazball is a state of mind, isn't it, obviously? But I think it's also about all of the criticism that kind of came that way, and oh, you should be doing this, you should do this. They were looking for absolute perfection in every single England cricketer. Joe Root is a kind of the closest thing we've got to perfection in terms of a cricketer, in terms of, well, certainly a batter. And on this occasion, I just thought this was proper Bazball. I've always seen it as that. Bazball to me is like they have always looked to play the situation, but they've always looked to try to be in control and try to score at a decent enough rate that wasn't going to get them into an awful position, right? England, again, are away to India with still a decent bowling lineup. People say, oh, Akash Deep isn't kind of one of their first liners. He's taken 3 in the first 15 minutes of the game. Like, he's not a bad cricketer, right? Probably what? Nearly 90 miles an hour. And for me, this is an indication that, yeah, Bazball has got so many different facets to it. And this is just another one, right? It's not like the first time that there has been a slow innings. I think it was the slowest kind of half century. But England has still rocked up and hit 300 in the first innings and the first day in the Test match. And long gone are the days where we were celebrating the dentury, right, of Joe Denley hitting, of facing 100 balls. And I just think that this isn't a case of, oh, they've listened to the likes of Jonathan Agnew and Skid Berry and all those random people who are shouting angry people at the clouds. I think this is just, again, demonstrating that what the team are doing kind of works. Like, the people who are in charge are still Ben Stokes, are still Brendan McCullum. Like, people saying, oh, this isn't Bazball, this is going away from this part. I don't think you're paying attention, right? You don't change a culture, you don't change a philosophy, you don't change a complete style kind of from game to game. You literally just go from game to game and play with that overall piece. I think that people can't be sitting there claiming that I was right or all that kind of stuff. Just don't think it's true. It just doesn't work that way.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's the coincidence, though, like the coincidence of timing is so annoying, because they are going to think that, and they are going to say, see, look what happens when you dig deep. And they're forgetting about the fact that that was Joe Root being Joe Root at his best, because he is one of the few players in this team that could have the skill to actually do that. And Ben Folkes has never been a Bazballer in the sense that they think what they think that means in terms of Crawley, Duckett, Bairstow, the way they play. Ben Folkes has put together a few innings for England now that are exactly like that, holding up an end, like rotating the strike. But that's a really valuable role that he plays in this setup, because it allows people who are still with him to actually carry on doing what they're doing, and it allows England to get a little bit more out the tail when they come in and they, you know, play the aggressive cricket. So
Max, I think it is that point, right? basketball gives people the license to play their game. That's the whole but of this, right? Have the freedom to go and do what you're going to go and do. And Joe Root has shouldered the burden. I think it was Mark Butcher highlighting how many overs he was bowling, right, compared to that bit and the workload, etc. Here he's come in and be like, yeah, I'm under a bit of pressure, but this is the situation I'm going to play. And you saw Joe Root at kind of, yeah, his fluent best today. And he was, yeah, still looking to rotate the strike, still looking to be the person there. I just think I said it was kind of sensationalism last time I was on the thing. They were kind of looking, oh, told you so. Just doesn't work like that, I don't think. I think a lot of credit needs to go to Ben Foulkes. I thought Ben Foulkes played really well today. And there's an awful lot of people who sit there and go, it's got to be Bairstow, Foulkes, etc. Like, they're just teammates kind of in this space. Bairstow actually kind of, came out, 38 runs, actually, in the context of the situation it was in, actually not a bad position. And coming up against Ashwin, like, it's always going to be challenging. Doesn't look like a sweeping wicket to it. I feel like I've seen Bairstow get out that way 1,000 times in his career. But that is the way it is. 38 runs is an okay contribution for a man who I think he probably hit about 38 runs in the whole series thus far.
I think Johnny Bairstow's 38 is a lot more, like, when you talk about weighted averages and weighted runs, I think it's a lot more valuable than 38, because I think he should be credited with at least 40 of the runs Joe Root scored, because his dismissal was the catalyst for England putting the sweep back at the very, very back of the cupboard, behind all the Tupperware tubs and the pans that you never get out for that, you know, the one thing that you make and you need this particular item, this particular kitchen utensil. The sweep was behind that at the back of the cupboard in the second session. I think they played one when it was down the leg side, and Joe Root still under-edged it and nearly caused himself some trouble. Like you said, it wasn't a sweeping pitch. And Johnny Bairstow proved that. And that allowed Ben Foulkes and Joe Root to play the way they did. So I think we have to give a lot of credit to Johnny Bairstow's sacrifice, because the sacrifice is a key tactic of basketball. It is indeed.
And you saw Ollie Robinson bring out the slog sweep at the end of dispatching 1 for 6, which is lovely to see. And again, it is around the grit and determination of this team and trying to be in that position. But to go from 57 for 3... after they were in such a shit position in the last innings where they kind of collapsed, like, we would not have been surprised if England would have completely folded in that space, right? But they didn't, right? They stood up and hitting 300 again in this space, getting over 250 is a great achievement in this space. There was an awful lot of chat on the pitch, and at the start when the new ball was there and it was hitting different things, like, yeah, the Ben Stokes wicket is a joke, right? First day, that should not be happening. Like, regardless of the most rank turners or the biggest green tops, a ball bouncing kind of this much off the ground, like, that's kind of unacceptable, right? But they still hit 300 runs in the first day, right? There's something in it for the batsmen, there's something in it for the bowlers. How this pitch then progresses over the next kind of couple of days, like, that's going to be remains to be seen. But overall, we've had a decent day's cricket. You cannot say you've not been entertained by the cricket that was on show today. And has that been ruined or by the pitch? I don't think you can kind of claim that right now. But if the pitch is abhorrent tomorrow and on Sunday, then there's a question. I think it's too soon to criticise.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, on the face of it, you look at it and you're like, well, Joe Root scored 100. It can't be that bad. But then you sort of rewind a bit to the start of the day when the ball was harder and perhaps there was a little bit of moisture in the surface. The first over, there were like three that bounced at Zach Crawley's head, which probably made it not look quite as extreme as it actually was, because when you remember that Zach Crawley is 6'4", an absolute giant. And then a couple that a little bit fuller absolutely died off the pitch. And, you know, Akash Deep was, a word for him as well, by the way, it was a question between him and Mukesh coming in, and you thought, you know, is Akash Deep really?
They made the right decision.
Yeah, I great think, call, right?
I think Mukesh Kumar is actually not very good. I think, like, he's a perfectly fine cricketer, but there are just some bowlers, I think Jack was saying in one of the previous ones, who just can't stand up to the test of basketball. Like, and I think Mukesh Kumar is one of those things that he just doesn't elicit.
File him under Scott Boland.
There's just no fear factor on it. Akash Deep, new thing, and actually was bowling in the right areas. Like, the ball to get Crawley out on both occasions, right? it wasn't a case of the ball staying low. It was literally coming back in off the seam, hitting top of off stump, and just like, fair play. Like, there's some really, really good deliveries. The one that Siraj bowled to Hartley was an absolute jaffer. Yeah. Like, the Indian pace is yet again coming up, and you're just like, this is such an impressive India side. And I think so many people are so, I said it last time as well, like, so ready to underestimate the talent that India have got at their disposal. I do think one of the big factors in Joe Root's innings today is them not having Bumrah. I think it's a huge factor, yeah. Right? Bumrah is such a threat to any batsman, but in particular, it's clear Joe Root does not like facing.
13 Bumrah. Times he's got Joe Root out, I think. Three in this series already. It's
It walks out. Joe Root might as well wear the Playboy bunny ears as he's going to the crease. Like, that should be the thing when he's playing against Bumrah. But it does make a massive difference, right? And if you don't have your best bowler out there to try and take down England's best batter, then there's going to be an advantage to England. But you can only hit what's in front of you, right? And Joe Root has managed to do that today, which was a really, really important century. And the fact that England are 2-1 down against this India side, they've won the toss, they've batted, they've got over 300 runs. They are still in this, right? Anything can happen. And that is exactly what any neutral fan would want for this. So I think it's a really sort of a nice place to be. And we've got a great next couple of days of test match cricket ahead of us. I don't think it's going to go the full 5 days.
I don't think it's going, no. Well, yeah, maybe not. But I mean, yeah, it's 300 at the end of the day. That's a pretty normal place for a test match to be. So we'll see. I think, I was really impressed with Akash Deep. He bowled a lot quicker than I thought. He was 140 Ks pretty much the entire time, 87 pushing nine, like really, really impressive. Like you said, hit his areas beautifully, got plenty out of the pitch at the start. I do think, aside from the one that kept low for Ben Stokes, which, like, we can't stress enough, was abhorrent. That shouldn't be happening on day three, let alone before lunch on day one. And there were a few more that kept low after that. But in the first session, yeah, the ball was like, there was some pretty extreme bounce at times, a lot of seam movement, but it wasn't that far removed from what you can get on the first session of a test match. That does happen. I think, I don't know whether you agree, but I do. I think with all the chat beforehand about it looking like a plate and the cracks down the middle, as soon as Crawley got done by that one that, it reared back, like it was, it was akin to an 87 mile an off spinner, sure, but seam movement happens, right? That's the thing. It was a really good ball. But as soon as that happened, England had it in their heads like, oh, this is like, we can't survive on this. This is going to be a disaster. We just got to go and hit it as quickly as we can and score what we can, which I think possibly led to the carnage that we saw. And after lunch, it did flatten out. I think the ball got softer. There was a lot less of that kind of invariable bounce. It was more quite consistently keeping low, but it was quite easy to stay in. It was just very difficult to score runs. So England put the sweep away, one of the major ways that we're going to get out. And then just sort of hung around a bit and like you say, like batted beautifully to get the runs. Tim's saying in the chat, similar to the wicket for South Africa India in the last test. I was thinking the same in the morning. It had that kind of vibe about it, which wasn't a great pitch. But once the ball went a bit soft, it was quite easy to stay in, I thought. And I think that's going to be really interesting with this India innings. I think Robinson, if he can find the right areas like Akash Deep, could be a real handful if he gets that seam movement. But if England don't make early inroads, assuming it's going to be some point in the first session tomorrow, then it could be there could be runs to be had in that middle session towards the end of the day. So it'll be interesting to see how the pitch holds up, because I mean it is bare and there's every chance that after day three it's going to be spewing all over the place. But there isn't necessarily a ball with your name on it unless you're Ben Stokes.
Yeah, and I think that when it comes to like the team, like both teams have got quite an interesting kind of bowling attack, I think, now for this pitch, actually. And I think that if Stokes is going to potentially bowl as well in this space, we've got Anderson, we've got Robinson, you've got the off spinner in Bashir, and you've got Hartley in left hand and Joe Root to kind of support. I think it's not as good as India's bowling lineup, but it is there to cause enough problems, I think. I think this test match is exactly what you want from when the series is really on the line. I think that we're going to have a really good couple of days of test match cricket. And I think, yeah, I don't... This whole series has not been similar to when England last played in India. Like, regardless of what happened in our YouTube comments, like the pitches were absolutely shocking, right, when it kind of came to it. And, oh, pitches are allowed to spin from day one. Yeah, but the test matches shouldn't be over in 2 days, right? There's that part around it. Here, I think, actually, the cricket has been the main talking point. I think that's fantastic. Ollie Pope, what was that shot? As I said before, I think you kind of deserve to get out. And there's just been some just genuinely kind of some good bowling off the back of it. And Siraj is, yeah, always fun to watch. Max, we have England 302 for seven. If England can get, what, another 25 runs, 50 runs, that puts them into a really competitive space. There's also the possibility of England completely folding and being all out for 310.
Yeah, that would still be a good score. I think getting to 300 after the start they had, I think is really good. But I mean, everyone was saying after the first session, don't judge a pitch until both teams have batted on it. It's the classic saying. I do think in this case that's a very fair assessment to make. I'm really interested to see how it plays tomorrow. But I think England are genuinely in a really, really strong position. And I think in India probably, they're probably a bit poor today, to be honest, overall. Like, Akash Deep was great at the start. Siraj bowled really nicely when the ball started reversing. But in that middle session when Joe Root and folks were there, I mean, they just let it drift. It was as if they were waiting, basically, for the pitch to do the work for them. I didn't see any sort of ingenuity from Rohit Sharma, no encouragement for them to try and play a slightly more dangerous shot. They left the sweep area open. That they weren't playing that shot. Like, that's fine. Take someone else out, put them somewhere else, move it around, give them something else to think about. Don't let them just nerdle it. And I think they were a bit poor from that perspective. I think they were a bit poor in the field as well, to be honest. They're like a few misfields and letting the pressure off.
And that was quite different, right, from how the last test ended.
Yeah.
That was a bit, I think we said, if India can continue that attacking approach, that game management approach, actually they're going to be a real handful. And I think
they were on top, right. 112 for five. They had every chance. One more, that's the other thing. Like, if they, one wicket in that session to get folks or Joe Root, and, you know, you're thinking you can wrap the rest of the England innings up reasonably quickly, but that's not what happened. England batted well, and I think they're in a really strong, really strong position. It's all to play for. What do you reckon? Where's your money on? You got to put your flag.
I've been really impressed by England's kind of fight today, if I'm perfectly honest, and I think that. I think England have got a well-balanced bowling lineup, and if this pitch goes the way we think this pitch is going to go, I think winning the toss and batting first was absolutely essential to
huge.
It.
Huge,
yeah. So I think England, if England can get themselves to 350, I think that is a big, big position to kind of try to overcome. And as you say, both teams have to bat on it, etc. All kinds of stuff can happen between that part. But if England get to 350, they are well in this test match, and they've given themselves a target to bowl at, which I think is really, really important. And they haven't been particularly good at capitalising on those positions. I think they've thrown one or two away in this test series. India, however, could wrap up tomorrow so quickly, and they could put up a very big score. Like, you just don't know at this point. But I think this game is probably 55% in favour of England, actually, would be my Ross Viz on this. if you take the draw out of the equation, right, literally, yep. 55 for England, kind of 45 for India, purely on the fact that there's runs on the board. If India were in this position, I'd kind of say the same on the other side. So I think this is really, really nicely balanced for it. And depending what happens in that first session tomorrow, could swing that. But I think when we're live tomorrow, and hopefully the people who are watching this kind of come back tomorrow, and you can like and subscribe and do whatever else.
Yeah.
Don't forget all our brilliant IPL coverage that's going to happen in just over a month's time. I'm really excited about it, Max.
Yeah, no, I think England probably edging it after today. I think what tipped it over the edge for me as well, in terms of who's on top, was Jaiswal bowling the last over. I think that cemented England's moral victory for the day in my eyes.
Vibes cricket. That is what that is. That is vibes cricket. Yeah. It's like the guys hit back-to-back double centuries. Do you reckon he can take a wicket with some like pretty dodgy leg spin?
I mean, actually, by the end of the over, a couple of them came out quite nice. The first ball he bowled was absolutely disgusting. But by the end, he got some genuinely got some turn. So maybe England will be ruining dropping Rayan, although he wouldn't have been able to play, of course, because he's gone back, and we should send our wishes to him. Another casualty of this series, but
Max, you're saying about ruining. So a lot of lions, which is that a Pokemon in that? Is it all thing?
Yeah, it's Dragonite, I think.
Oh, there we go. In his avatar. The reviews burnt by India could be huge. I think that one of them actually was going to hit.
Well, Ollie Robinson was plum, yeah.
Yeah, so there was those bits. And again, it comes down to a little bit of desperation at times, but the reviews have worked in India's favour on more than one occasion, which is...
I mean, the review to get Pope was one of the best reviews I've ever seen on a cricket pitch. Like, I have to say, like, that was... never in my wildest dreams I think that was out. Like, he was down the wicket. It looked like it had pitched.
Hit him on the knee roll.
Yeah.
And that's the thing around India. Like, India are changing the way we see it, right? There's going to be a lot of LBW decision in England cricket where things are hitting above the knee roll. And, yep, man, well, what happened in India, it'll be fine. But I do think, the reviews are a key part of that. And, yeah, again, we've got 3 wickets left for England. So I'm not sure it's going to play a major, major part. But if Ollie Robinson goes on, who knows?
He's already got 30. Not bad.
Yes. Well, thank you ever so much for the 80, 90 people who have tuned in. Quite different to the 1,000 people we had in a few days ago. We wonder why. But we'll look forward to seeing what happens tomorrow. And maybe it'll be India's Day tomorrow.
Cheerio.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Sports Social Podcast Network.